This could be the day. Oh, the writer of Hebrews said, hold fast. Hold fast. Don't let go. Amen. Now, I feel this way too when I'm gone. My wife's gone. If I look lost today, I am. Kind of hard to operate, you know. And this is no reflection to any place or anyone, but she was talking on the phone. She said, I really appreciate our people. And I have to echo that. I really appreciate you as a church, as a people. I'll tell you what I wanted to preach on tonight. I wanted to preach a message called What You're Doing Right. I think you're doing a lot of things right. Amen. How many sometimes feel like the preacher just talks about what you're doing wrong? So I wanted to preach on what you're doing right, but instead I feel led to preach on what you're doing. No, I'm joking. I felt led another direction. Matthew chapter 24. You can stand for the reading of God's word. It's been a great time in the presence of the Lord. Amen. We got something better going on a Sunday night, something better than football. Amen. Just getting warmed up here for another Sunday night. Amen. Matthew 24, we'll begin reading. We could begin many places, but let's just begin verse 4. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. The beginning of sorrows. You have a red lettered edition. These are the words of Christ. But I want you to notice at the last part of verse 7, you may want to keep your Bibles open, but Jesus said, he said, you're going to see these things. You're going to hear. You're going to see. And one of the things he mentions is earthquakes in diverse places. I want to preach tonight on aftershock. Aftershock. A cataclysmic earthquake such as was just experienced in Haiti should speak to the believer and to the world about the coming end. It should speak to them about that. Amen. Father, we pray you'd shut up our hearts to truth. Help us to have a sense of eternity in the service. Lord, speak to us about your divine agenda, your divine plan, and what you have for the people of God in these end times. Holy Spirit, we covet your anointing. Come upon speaker, Lord, to speak and ears to hear and hearts to receive. God, help it to be a night, O God, of drawing closer to you. To be aware that we're part of something bigger than we are. We're part of your eternal plan. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Aftershock. This week, I've had the privilege of speaking to some high school students and got on the subject of the end of the world and the coming of Christ. And it wasn't a large cross-section or a large sampling, but I just stopped and I asked those high school students, I said, now these were high school students raised in church or at least go to church regularly. And I asked them, I said, how many of you here have heard about Jesus' return and about the end of the world and the coming judgment? How many of you have heard that in church? And I paused and I saw this look on their face. And they began to shake their heads and say, haven't heard that. Haven't heard that. And finally one of them said, well, he said, Sometimes my pastor will mention something about that. And that's no reflection on those students or the churches they go to, but I think it's becoming a very real description of our church world, that there is no longer an emphasis on the coming of the Lord and the things to come. I think that would be a fair assessment. You know, back in the 70s, it seemed like almost every Christian song that was written about the coming of the Lord. How many remembers that? And, you know, it's interesting to me that at a time closest to the coming of the Lord, there is a growing phenomena of less and less expectation for the coming of the Lord. But what those students' response was began to just stir my heart. You see, at one time, don't you think this earthquake experienced there in Haiti, don't you think at one time it would have brought to the mind of Christians what Jesus said about earthquakes? Don't you think the church would have been considering, in light of that earthquake that happened, considering what Jesus said and that possibly His return in the end was at hand? You know, I like to read history, and one story that just really got my attention was in 1848, March 29th, not too far from here, day's drive, up at the Niagara Falls areas. These folks, the residents, inhabitants, didn't realize it. But out on Lake Erie, there had come up a strong wind, and had blown these huge chunks of ice together and literally caused a blockage on that eastern end of Lake Erie. And they woke up the morning of March 30th, and they were just all of a sudden frightened, because living in the villages around the Niagara Falls, they were used to the constant roar of the falls. And when they woke up on March 30th, they realized that there was no sound of those falls falling. It frightened them. And the churches on both sides of the river in the United States and Canada, on that day when the fall stopped, the churches on both sides of the river filled up. People wanting to hear from the man of God. People wanting to pray, because they felt like that those falls stopping was some kind of sign that the end of the world was near. Now you see, I've never read anywhere in the Bible that one of the signs of the end or Christ's coming was Niagara Falls stopping. What I want you to notice is their mindset. When something cataclysmic happened, when something major happened, they began to look at that in light of what they knew the Scripture said. Amen. And now we can have the very worst of things happen, and people no longer have the mindset, something horrible has happened, let's turn to the book. Let's see what the book says. Let's see what God says. Let's see how this fits into the scheme of things. And some folks may laugh at that and say, oh, isn't that funny? Niagara Falls stopped, and it was just ice blocking the lake, and those folks filled up the church and wanted to have prayer meeting, wanted to have preaching, thinking the end of the world was near. Isn't that crazy of them? I don't think it's crazy. I think it's good to have an attitude to look out on this world and not like let the so-called authorities interpret what's going on. But look out what's happening in this world and say, you know, maybe God's trying to talk to us about His coming, and maybe the Lord's trying to speak to us about His agenda and about end-time events that are going to take place. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. And just after this horrible earthquake, just last week, there was that aftershock. And aftershock is a tremor following the main shock of the earthquake. And even the aftershock was 6.1. I mean, that's quite an aftershock. But when I heard about that aftershock, I got to thinking, we've had this major earthquake. Shouldn't one of the aftershocks be a spiritual aftershock? Shouldn't it shake people up and turn their hearts to God and cause them to look heavenward and cause them to look back in the book? It's time that we get shaken in our spiritual hearts and lives. I'm talking about an aftershock. I believe in all events, if we would, we could hear the voice of God. Hallelujah. I think in all events we ought to listen for the voice of God. But especially we ought to listen in those things that He said were a precursor to His coming. And He said earthquakes are a precursor to His coming. So our ears ought to be listening to what he's saying. There's so many things to consider here, but I just want you to consider four quick things. Number one, the prophecy of this. This is a prophecy. And the last days there shall be earthquakes. You know, it's amazing how the world can ridicule the Bible and get caught up in the silliest of things. I don't know how many of you have heard of this Mayan prediction. You know, the Mayans are the ones with the empire down in South America, built those stair-step pyramids, and they were all into astrology and children sacrifice and everything else. Well, they left carvings of circular calendars, and their calendar was a bit different from ours. And they have a long cycle in this calendar. They have 365 days worked in there, but they got these long, they work with a different base of numbers, and they got this long calendar. Well, the archaeologists and different ones that began to study these calendars of the Mayan Indians discovered that those calendars end in the year 2012. Has anyone heard anything about this? Got people stirred up. Now, I never could understand some. Take Christians, they can read the Bible and read what Jesus says about the end of the world and his coming, and it not faze them, and someone can start talking about a Mayan calendar, and they get all stirred up, the end's near. Does that sound harsh? And Hollywood's picked up on that. I understand there's at least two movies in the make, one of them with that title, 2012. And there's another, I believe it's an Indiana Jones movie. I'm not an Indiana Jones fan, so I don't know anything about that. But two movies in the make with that theme. They simply looked at the Mayan calendar, and it ends at 2012. And so what they say is, they said the world is going to end in 2012. Humanity is going to end in 2012. And people are stirred up about this. They're all into this because the Mayan calendar ends at 2012. Amen. I was talking to Brother Jamie, and he mentioned this and began to study on it. I don't guess anyone just considered that's just as far as they made their calendar. I mean, after all, they're carving it out of stone. And these cycles are hundreds of years and centuries long. And finally, God said, I'm through with this calendar making. This is a lot of work. And just because the calendar ends there, they said the world's going to end. What I got to thinking, if they're so big about prophesying the end of the world, how come they didn't prophesy the end of their own empire? And people get all caught up in that. But I think we need to realize when we look in this book, it's something different. It's not surmise, it's prophecy. And this is Jesus' prophecy. And I think it needs to be noted that Jesus is the one that brought up this earthquake thing. Some kook can bring up the Mayan 2012 calendar thing, but Jesus brought up this earthquake thing. Amen? You know, I remember back a summer ago, from last summer, when gas went over $4 a gallon. I didn't like it any better than you do. But I heard Christians get all upset and said, gas over $4 a gallon. It's a sign of the end times. Well, I went to looking in Daniel and Revelation, and I even looked in the Greek. And I didn't see where gas over $4 a gallon is a sign of the end time. Am I missing something? I didn't find it there. I didn't read it in the Bible. But I do read earthquake in the Bible. And I do read it as a sign of Christ coming. Jesus said it. You know, these disciples, you know, I don't know exactly what was in their mind, but they got Christ upon the Mount of Olives, and they were trying to get him to admire the skyline with the temple and there Jerusalem. And they said, oh, Master, look at the buildings. Maybe they were caught in the setting sun or the rising sun, whatever it was. But the disciples said, oh, look at the buildings. Jesus said, you got your eyes on the wrong thing. He said, don't look at these buildings. He said, I want to tell you something, disciples. You see the beauty of that temple and those buildings, but there shall not be left one stone upon the other. That got to them. They wanted to know more about that. And they said to the Lord, they said, tell us, when shall these things be? What things? The temple being torn down. Jerusalem be. When shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? You see, they asked two questions in one. They wanted to know, when are the buildings going to be torn down, Jerusalem destroyed, and what will be the sign of thy coming in the end of the world? And so that's what we got to understand about Matthew 24. Jesus is answering both of those questions. When will Jerusalem be destroyed? When will the temple be razed to the ground? And also at the same time in Matthew 24, he's answering the question, when is he going to come? And when is the end of the world going to be? Those two go together. And what you find as you read Matthew 24, you can't hardly separate the two. He's answering both questions about the destruction of the temple, and you can't unravel his answer of one from the other. There are some places that are clear. He's talking about the end. But the point is, these verses, these prophecies apply to both. These prophecies apply to the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple. But they also apply to his coming and the end of the world. And he said one of the things, we're going to limit ourselves tonight, but he said that one of the things that was going to happen is there's going to be earthquake. You know, we look back on it, but in 70 AD, just three or four decades after Christ went home to heaven, this happened. The Romans marched in and they tore down that temple and they broke down the walls of Jerusalem. And they destroy, it happened like Jesus said, what, not one stone was left upon the other. It happened. But Jesus said earthquake. And you know what historians tell us? That right before the Romans marched in to Jerusalem to destroy it and tear down the temple, there was a series of earthquakes that shook the Holy Land. But it doesn't just apply to the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. They also said, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And he said, earthquake. I didn't say it. It's Jesus' prophecy. He said, earthquake. You see, that's the whole point. Jesus said it. How many knows what Jesus gave were not forecast? How many find forecasts aren't real reliable? Forecasts are nothing more than predictions. What he said is prophecy. You know what prophecy is? It's history before it happened. It's history given, history spoken, history written before it happens. That's what. In other words, what Jesus said in prophecy is so sure, it's as if you got the history book before it even happened. Oh, hallelujah. I said Jesus said earthquake. It's a prophecy. Jesus said it. You know, this morning, sometime as I was getting prepared, I began to think of that song we used to sing. I believe he's coming back. Now, that's enough to shout about. But it said, I believe he's coming back just like he said. It's one thing for a preacher to yell at you, Jesus is coming again. But Jesus said he was coming again. And he said before that, earthquake. Earthquake. Amen. You know, I thought of this. We have some in our midst that did this. I can remember 3-4 years before it happened. I remember some folks saying, this housing bubble is going to burst and things are going to be as bad as we've ever seen them. We had some in our midst that would warn us and say, listen, it's going to burst. It's going to burst. People in the know across the land, they would say, they said it. They said they called it before it happened. They said this housing bubble is going to burst and things, there's going to be financial ruin across the United States. Am I telling you the truth? Well, I just want to know, I want you to know, Jesus said this. He said he's going to come again. And he gave us some things. He said some things that are going to happen before he comes. And one of them is earthquake. I believe if he said it, we can put stock in it. You know, we find it justified to ignore the prophets just because there's some quacks that got it all wrong in the past. And I want you to know there have been. We used to have a box of books back in the sound room. And I forgot the date, but how the Lord was going to come in 1988. Was that the date? Somewhere there. And so we've got to the point we ignore the prophet because of the quacks men talking. But I'll tell you, they can say what they want to, but this book never changes forever, O Lord. Thy word is settled in heaven. And Jesus said it. I said, Jesus said it. He said He's coming back. Hallelujah. It's a prophecy. And perhaps we shouldn't just limit this tonight to geological earthquakes. You say, what are you talking about, Pastor? Well, the word for earthquake here, I'll say the Greek and you'll recognize it. I've got to Englishize it just a little bit, but seismos. You recognize it? Get the word seismograph from it. But you know this exact same word when Jesus said there will be earthquakes is the exact same word when it said a tempest hit that sea and the waves came and the wind blew. And this was a word used to any type of upheaval, whether it was of water, of wind, or earth, a seismos, an upheaval. And I think, yes, first of all, Christ is talking about a geological quake. But I believe He's also talking about anything that can shake and rattle this earth. I'm telling you, there's upheavals beyond the geological that's going to happen. We've already had a financial quake. Amen. We've had political quakes. And Jesus said, there are going to be earthquakes. I want you to know it's a prophecy. You can bank on it. It's going to happen. Glory to God. I believe a student of the Word knows more than all the authorities that you can line up from the universities and government. A student of the Word knows more about what's coming than any of those. Amen. Get caught up in all this global warming and stuff, and I don't know where you're at on that, but I just know the data coming in is beginning to say, wait a minute, they had all their scenarios, all their statements of what was going to happen, and they had it all wrong. But I tell you, you're not going to have this wrong, because Jesus said it. Oh, hallelujah. Someone said, Jesus said it, and I believe it, and that settles it. No, sir, Jesus said it, and that settles it. It's just good that I believe it. Then I want you to notice the precursor here. Now, I've done a lot of thinking about this, and I'll tell you like I've always told you. You check me out. But I think we've really missed this thing. I think we begin to say, well, you know, when there's an increase in earthquakes, that's what Jesus was talking about. An increase of earthquakes would signal that Jesus is just momentarily going to come. And so when the earth begins to shake and think Jesus is coming, as I begin to read this, the earthquake is not just a sign that the end is about to come. The earthquake is a sign of how the end will be when it does come. It's not so much putting us on a timetable. It's trying to say this is an earthquake is a precursor of the kind of destruction and ruin that is going to happen when Jesus does come. And we'll look at some things there. Amen. The earthquake. Amen. It isn't just about the increase or the amount of earthquakes. It's the nature of the earthquake itself. It shakes the world. And an earthquake that we've seen, such as in Haiti, just is a sample and a taste of how God is going to shake this earth with His judgments. You see, people don't want to hear that anymore. But it's still in the book. Amen. Jesus said in verse 6, I read it to you. He said, when these things happen, the end is not yet. In other words, just because an earthquake doesn't mean Jesus is coming tomorrow. He could come tomorrow. But that's not a sign just to say He's coming tomorrow. When He shakes the earth, the end is not yet. But it's shown us what the end's going to be like when it gets here. That's why He said in verse 8, all these are the beginning of sorrows. And the Greek word literally is the beginning of birth pains. The very beginning of birth pain. You know, birth pains do not necessarily signal that the birth will be any moment. But birth pains signal that the birth is coming. And it's a sampling of what the pains in birth are going to be. And so when there's an earthquake, yes, it means that the end is coming. But it's also telling us and drawing a picture and showing us what it's going to be like when the end does come. Have you seen the pictures of destruction from Haiti? Multiply that 1,000 times over, and you got just one of the judgments that's going to be poured out on this earth when the church is gone. And so that earthquake isn't just saying Jesus is about to come. That's all built into it. But that earthquake's saying, look at this. This is just a picture of what it's going to be like Amen. Just a picture. I pointed out in one of the bulletin articles how in describing this earthquake, secular reporters used the word biblical, biblical proportions, biblical destruction. I thought they're only half right. Because if they'll read the Bible closely, it's bad. And I'm not minimizing anything that's happened in Haiti. But I tell you, they call that biblical. But when the real biblical gets here, there'll be little comparison. Amen. Aren't you glad there's a way to be prepared and ready for the coming of the Lord? It's earthquake doesn't just tell us that the end is about to come. It tells us how bad it's going to be when the end does come. Let me read just a few scriptures. Revelation 6:12. I'm about done, but it says, "And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal. And lo," what happened? What did it say? "Opened the sixth seal. And there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood." Revelation 8:5. "The angel took the censer and filled it with the fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and a earthquake." Revelation 11:13. "In the same hour was there a great earthquake, and a tenth part of the city fell, and in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, the remnant were affrighted, and gave glory to God of heaven." Revelation 11:19. "And the temple of God was open in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and earthquake." Amen. "And a great hail." Revelation 16:18. "And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake such as was not." Listen, I want you to get this for later. "Was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great." In other words, that earthquake in Haiti, it's nothing compared to this earthquake that's coming. But you know one other thing, an earthquake is just one more sign that our earth has fallen. We talked a little bit about that this week. You know what the Bible says? It says the whole creation, since the whole creation fell, the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but we also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. We feel the groanings in our life, in our hearts and our minds, that we need to be healed, we need to be redeemed. But the Bible said the whole creation groans, waiting for the redemption through Christ. Every time there's an earthquake, quake, that's one of the groanings and the rumblings that says our world is fallen. And just like our soul and body needs redeemed, our world needs redeemed. God didn't create this world to have earthquakes. That is a result of sin. Amen. Aren't you glad he's got a plan to bring it all back? I've read that not only are there aftershocks, there are what they call forequakes or foreshocks. And I just wonder, maybe if Haiti wasn't a foreshock of the real thing that's coming. A forequake. Amen. Earthquake's just a reminder. That earthquake was a loud groan that our earth is waiting for redemption. But one more thing about earthquakes. They don't only have aftershocks, but they trigger other things. And that's why there was a tsunami warning when the earthquake struck Haiti. But earthquakes called tsunamis, they cause volcanoes. They cause fires, especially in the city. They cause avalanches. And in their wake of the quake, amen, they cause disease with the unsanitary conditions. An earthquake is a trigger. And Jesus said the end is not yet, but there'll be an earthquake. And it makes you wonder if that's not just the trigger that sets things in motion. We have more than that. We have upheavals in our world that are going to trigger many things. But Jesus said this is just but a precursor of what is to come. And my thinking is, my limited thinking, if the precursor is that bad, I sure don't want to be here when the real thing gets here. And he's made provision that we don't have to. Hallelujah. And then I want you to consider the power of earthquakes just a little bit. I don't mean to insult anyone by reviewing some of this stuff, just making it clear to myself. But they measure earthquakes on Richter scales, on the Richter scale. And you know that it goes up by increments of one. You have a one, a two, a three, four, five. This one in Haiti was a seven, right? And you know that kind of fools our minds. Because by going by increments of one, you know, well, seven's not that much more than six, and eight's not that much more than seven, and nine's going by increments of one. But what they use mathematical logarithms. And I don't know if it comes out exact, but it's exponential. In other words, the difference between a one and a two isn't one, it's 10 times. A two is 10 times what a one is. And a seven is 10 times what a six. And roughly, I don't know if the logarithm comes out exact, but it's real close. And an 8 is 10 times what a 7 is. So you hear, well, you know, somewhere they had a 6. Well, Haiti just had a 7. That wasn't much more than a 6. No, that 7 was 10 times. 10 times what a 6. Let me just give you a little idea here. An earthquake that's a 1 on the Richter scale, and I won't go into which ones you can feel, but just this little bit here. A 1 on the Richter scale is equivalent to 70 pounds of dynamite. A 1 on the Richter scale is 70 pounds of dynamite. A 2 on the Richter scale is equivalent to 2,240 pounds of dynamite. From 70 pounds of dynamite to 2,240 pounds of dynamite. Or 2,204 pounds of dynamite. But get this. Haiti, they had a 7. A 7 is equivalent to 32 megatons of dynamite. What's a megaton? It's 1,000,000 tons. So 32 times 1,000,000 times 2,000 in a ton pounds of dynamite. From a 1 to a 7. From 70 pounds to 32 megatons at a 7. And that is 32 million. Tons. There's a lot of power. I don't think there's a greater force on our earth. I know the sun's without our earth, but within the earth itself, I don't think there's a greater force than an earthquake. How many, I know you don't remember, I started to say remember, but remember from reading the earthquake along the Madrid Fault in Missouri, in the Boot Hill of Missouri. Remember reading about that, anyone? 1811. Had aftershocks for almost a year. The thing that impressed me about that when I read it, thankfully there wasn't a lot of people living in that area that time. But that earthquake, how many's ever seen the Mississippi River? You seen the Mississippi River? Seen it around St. Louis? That thing's a mile wide. Father of waters, Mark Twain said. But in the Boot Hill, that earthquake was so powerful that the Mississippi River from that point ran backwards for 3 days. That's a powerful thing. And Jesus said there's going to be earthquakes. Amen. We've had 7. That was Haiti. We have had a few 8s and even maybe 1 or 2 9s. But remember, we're increasing by 10. Can you imagine what a 10 is going to be like? The power of that. But the thing about the power of earthquakes is the awfulness of them. It's the destruction they can cause as we've seen the pictures of in recent days. And oh, what a powerful that brings about such awful destruction. That's what Jesus said is coming. But it's not just the awfulness. Earthquake doesn't just show us the awfulness of the end. Amen. But the earthquake shows us the suddenness of the end. You know, the frightful thing about earthquakes isn't just their tremendous power. But listen, the frightful thing about earthquakes isn't just their power, but they are absolutely unpreventable. How many knows there is nothing man can do to stop and prevent an earthquake? Can't do it. Can't do it. And it's not just in that you cannot prevent them, you really can't predict them. I know they listened to these four shocks and they said out there in the San Andreas fault there in Los Angeles and San Francisco, they said there's a 65,000 or 65% chance that in the next 30 years there's going to be a tremendous earthquake, and they can make some kind of predictions. They can get kind of in the ballpark, but they can never predict like they can predict a storm or something else. They can't say, well, you know, there's going to be an earthquake in the next week. They can't do it. You can't predict them, and you cannot prevent them. How many knows there's a lot of things outside the control of man, in the hands of God? But last of all, I want to talk to you. By the way, just let me back up just a step here. The worst earthquake yet was in the 1500s. I estimate it was about an 8 on the Richter scale. It was in China, and over 800,000 people, almost a million people, died in that earthquake. Great, powerful thing, unpreventable, unpredictable. And Jesus said it's a precursor of things to come. But last of all, I want to talk about preparation. An earthquake cannot be prevented and predicted, but an earthquake can be prepared for. Hallelujah. Again, I'm not making any statement of blame or anything else, but most of us understand that if those buildings in Haiti had have been built according to code, and I know they're poverty stricken and all that, but the point is still, if they had been built for an earthquake, there wouldn't have been that death and destruction. We've had earthquakes as strong in some of our cities, but the buildings built according to code, very few of them fail, and very minimal amount of deaths. And so you cannot prevent or predict an earthquake, but you can prepare for it. Listen, you cannot prevent the end of this world coming. There's not a person who can prevent Jesus Christ coming. You say, can we predict it? Well, like prophecy? I mean, we can get close. We can know the signs of the time, but we cannot. Jesus said, did he not? We don't know the day or the hour. We cannot prevent. We cannot predict. But I'm telling you one thing we can do. We can prepare. Oh, hallelujah. How many wants to be prepared when it all starts taking place? Glory to God. I said, glory to God. The very nature of an earthquake is illustrative of end time events and the climax of Christ's return. I know those of you that are steeped in physical science, I've been really shallow tonight. But basically, as you know, the earthquake comes about because two of the earth plates get snagged, either going up this way or going side to side. And the earth plates, they get snagged and they get caught on one another. One's moving one direction and the other's moving the other direction. And there they are snagged on one another. And the pressure is building and building and building and building and building. And the pressure is growing stronger. Amen. You know what happens, whether it's a rubber band or pushing down on a bean or flipping a spoon, whatever, the more pressure you put on there, when you let go, it's kind of like holding on to somebody. Here, help me out, Sonny. Help me. Pull against me. Pull hard. Don't pull against me. I mean, the pressure's building. What happens? The harder he pulls, go ahead, pull hard. You don't weigh much. Pull hard. And when you let go, there it goes. And that's the way it is. The pressure's building between the plates. The tension's building. Friction's building. They're snagged together, but all of a sudden, they turn loose of one another. And that's when the destruction comes. You see, you can tell the tension is growing by the groanings and the forequakes. You can tell the tension is growing, but you cannot tell when they're going to snap loose from one another, and it's going to happen. I want you to know, if you're in tune with this book, you can tell the tensions are growing. Amen. The pressure is building, and we don't know, because it's going to be suddenly, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, but one of these days that tension's going to break. And the things that have been building are going to start happening like this. And Jesus is going to come and wrap up human history and redeem His people and redeem this world. I can't predict the moment, the day, but I know one thing. We can prepare. I got to point out here, this idea of preparation, that Jesus said there's something we've got to worry about more than destructive things. And that's deception. Look what he says in verse 4. And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no man deceive you, for there shall many For many shall come in my name saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. I've said many times, of the things Jesus said were coming that are signs of his coming, the thing that bothers me the most is when he said, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. That's more frightening than the earthquake. Because iniquity shall abound. How many would admit iniquity has abound in our world and society? And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But Jesus, before he mentioned the destruction of the earthquake and the pestilence, he mentions deception. They go hand in hand. It would seem that in destruction, people would seek the truth. But today, the more destruction, the more people turn to the deception. We saw that in 9/11. I really believe there'd be a major turning. Well, folks believe there'd be a major turning to the Lord. But in all that destruction, people turn to the deceptive thing rather than to the truth. Isn't that right? How many's made up your mind you're going back with Jesus when he comes? Hallelujah. Earthquake. It's a prophecy. It's a precursor. It's got great power. But it's telling us to prepare. I want to close with just a few things here, but I want to remind us of what it says in Hebrews. Listen. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now hath he promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore we receive in a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. If that's not missing in the church one day, I don't know what it is. They don't want to hear it. But he said, we need to be aware. He's going to speak again, and this time his voice isn't going to shake just earth. It's going to shake heaven too. Turn to Luke 21, and Jesus said the same thing. He talked about this earthquake in Matthew, but Jesus went on in Luke and said, it's going to shake the heavens. But he said, the writer of Hebrews, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, what you got in your heart in Christ cannot be shaken. Your faith in Christ will not be shaken. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. If you're redeemed, if you're born again, if you got the principles of God's word rooted in your mind, you cannot be shaken. And when everything else has crumbled and has fallen around us, you can stand unshaken. And then he said, therefore we got a kingdom that cannot be moved. Amen. Let us have grace that we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Amen. Folks don't want to hear about that fear thing and about things that cause fear. But I'm continually reminded what it said of Noah when he was told of the flood. It said, and Noah by faith, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. That's where we are. We want to be prepared. Since we're talking about quakes, I'm going to end with this. But Hannah testified Wednesday night, and she read, said she was reading Acts 4, where after they warned Peter, apostles, you know, they went to their own company. They told them what they said about not preaching in the name of Jesus. And they said, well, let's go to prayer about that. And they said, oh God that made the heavens above and the earth beneath and the seas and all that in them is. You've heard their threatenings. But now, Lord, what we're going to ask of you is boldness to speak the name they tell us not to speak. And we're going to ask you to do more than that, Lord. We're going to ask you to stretch out your hand and heal in the name of your holy child, Jesus. And the Bible said when they begin to pray like that, it said, and the place was shaken. Oh, hallelujah. I believe one of the aftershocks ought to be a church shake. A spiritual aftershock. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken. I wonder if we couldn't invite that. Say, Lord, just shake us out of apathy. Shake us loose from those things of the world that would hinder. Amen. Shake some up. Shake some folks so they'll finally move. shake down the strongholds, shake off the chains. How many just like the Lord to shake us? I'm not praying for an earthquake. You're not lifting your hand for that. But we are praying for a church quake. Hallelujah. Would you stand? Thank God that we have the confidence. He's got the future in His hands. Would you praise Him tonight? Would you thank Him across the building? Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. We can't predict. We can't prevent. But we can prepare. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for the words of Christ that He spake to His disciples. Lord, I pray You challenge our hearts. We want to be a group of people that's aware of Your agenda, making preparation, telling others about Christ, telling others of their need to be prepared. God, help us, O Lord, to see the urgency of the hour. Not only, Lord, for ourselves, but for our loved ones, that there might be preparation for that day. May we take every event like these earthquakes as an opportunity to let You speak to us of what is to come. In Christ's name. If you're here tonight, if Christ would come, if the end would happen, you would not be prepared. If you'd like to be prepared tonight, would you come right now to this altar? Say, I'd just like to make some preparation. I'd just like to make some preparation. Are you here? I'd like to come quickly, quickly. Anyone across the building, just want to make some preparation. Hallelujah. You know, above all else, we must be saved. It's all important. It's all important. Yes, you guys, you're doing a lot of right things. Amen. Great church. But I'm telling you, oh, if God would just help us get our hearts in tune with His plan, His agenda. Hallelujah. If you'd like that to happen, if you just like God to work in your heart and just make you more in tune with His plan and His agenda, would you begin to fill these altars and say, oh God, speak to me in a personal way about Your plan, Your agenda. Would you come? Hallelujah.